City, oh city, beaten by storms. Is there no one to comfort you? The city, oh city, beaten by storms. Listen closely to your God. I will build your walls with gates of sparkling jewels. Righteousness will be your strength. I will teach your sons the way.
Welcome to the Sunday message for Sunday, the 21st of April, 2024. Let's begin this message by reading three scriptures. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to read Hebrews 11, 8 to 10 to start with. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's back up to Hebrews 3 verse 4. Hebrews 3 verse 4 reads very briefly, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." He that built all things is God. One more scripture from the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Yeshua." Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for these precious words. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to take these words and burn them in our hearts. Enlighten our minds. May there be no distraction, any force that would try to snatch this word away from us and prevent us from hearing what you have to say to us this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we worship your holy name. In the mighty name of the Lord Yeshua, the Anointed One. Amen. The title of this message is God the Architect. God the Architect. I'm always fascinated when I drive in built-up areas and see these high-rise buildings that have been constructed. It always intrigues me. I built a house once, a homeowner built. It still stands, believe it or not. And I don't think I would like to repeat the experience, but in doing that, you learn a little bit about building and you realize how complicated and how complex it actually is. And that's why, you see, when I see these massive buildings, I realize something of the complexity involved, the planning that has to take place, the meticulous attention to detail over so many, many things. Everything goes into making this building and ultimately something that's functional and looks good. So I'm amazed. I think that it's a testimony to the God inside of man that a small man can make something so big. But one thing you realize is that for a building to be successful, it has to be properly planned. If you don't plan and just start to build something, any edifice, it's doomed to destruction. And you see, the whole idea of having a plan is knowing what has to happen and when it has to happen. You can't put in the electrical fittings if you haven't built the foundation or the walls, obviously not. And you see, in the process of building, one has to have an eye on what's going to be happening next. It's no good building the whole house, putting on the roof, painting it and everything, and deciding, oh, we better put in electricity now. Or what about sewage? Or what about this and what about that? It's too late, you see. There is a process that has to be followed. And that process will only bring forth a proper building, produce a proper building, if it's followed very closely. You have to have plans. You have to have an architect. When I built my house, I contracted a student architect to draw up the plans. By and large, he did a very good job, although I thought he had in mind a house he wanted to live in rather than the house we could afford to build. But anyway, we got through. Now, the point we need to make and understand is that you and I, as these scriptures say, are God's masterpiece. We are buildings. We're also a field. We are also a lot of other things. We are human beings. We are his creation. But in the scripture, it likens us to building. God is building us. And if we understand it correctly, we need to realize that God is the architect of our souls. I don't think I'd want any other architect. If you look at his magnificent creation, created in the finest detail, from great planets and galaxies and universes to tiny atoms, organisms, life at every level, everything so intricately designed. It's miraculous. It's mind-blowing. It's beyond us. It's wonderful to look at and to be told about by those who've studied it. And it's so wonderful. But in everything we see design. We see that a master builder was at work. Mathematicians will say it to us, different proportions evident in all of creation. But all of it follows a plan, you see. And God is the architect of it all. God is the one that built all things. Now, the point of all of this is that you and I need to realize it. We need to accept it. And we need to work with it. If God is the master builder, we need to, in a sense, allow him to build us. Allow him to build our lives. And if we think of building a house, we realize yet again that the way God functions is always process. There's always a start and there's always an end. And there's a whole lot in between. Now, you see, our problem as human beings, we just want to rush things. There's a scripture in Proverbs which says this. Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. You see that? An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Very often you and I, we want to get on with life, and that's not wrong. But we want it to happen tomorrow. And sometimes we manage to get it to happen tomorrow. But you see, when we gain that inheritance quickly, very often it doesn't last. And there's a reason for this. God is a master builder. And for any building to be established and to be strong, for a start, the foundations have got to be set. If you and I build on shaky foundations, weak foundations, shallow foundations, whatever structure we build on top of that is precarious, to say the least. It's in danger of falling over. We all know the story about building on rock and on sand. That's more or less the same idea. The storms of life blow something over that is not firmly established. But in the building industry, experienced builders will tell you that one of the biggest mistakes people make when they build, they're in such a hurry. They lay the foundation, throw the concrete, and they build too soon. they don't allow that concrete to set. If they don't do that, that building, when it's built on top, as the concrete below sets, it shifts and it can cause problems later on. Now, God is a master builder, and he realizes that you and I have got great potential. I like to think of it this way. God sits in heaven and he's got the master plan for you and my life in his hands. And when I was building, we tried to build along the lines of, well, let's build what we can now and add on rooms later on. You see, design it in such a way that we could grow into it, so to speak. Now, you see, you and I, as children of God, we set about this course of walking with him, of doing his work here on earth, and he has a master plan. And if we can think about it this way, that master plan has got many, many additions to it. But God has got to make sure that one step is taken at a time. And a lot of it depends on us, you see, because if we are diligent, we allow him to work in our lives, we allow him to build and set the foundations in us, build on this, and at the right time, build on that. When we come to the end of our life, and that scripture comes to mind, he prepares a mansion for us. That mansion is, in a sense, being lived out here, potentially. But it's quite sad, I think, if we are struggling here and we maybe don't do this right. We try and cut corners here. We try and short circuit the system. And we fail maybe. And God might have to say, well, we managed to build this room, but unfortunately we'll have to leave that one. Now, that's not the plan, of course. But you see, God wants to build us. And he's a master builder. He's a patient builder. He's a consistent builder, a thorough builder. And we need to learn that. And we need to allow him to do that. What does that mean in practice? In practice, what it means is that you and I, for a start, have got to lay foundations. And if you understand it correctly, the deeper and more secure foundations are, the higher and more established that building can be. Let me just say that again. The deeper and more secure the foundations are, the higher and more prominent that building can be. If you notice the great men of God in the Bible, every single one of them went through a lengthy preparation stage. You think of Moses in the wilderness, 40 years. Think of Joseph, imprisoned all those years. You think of Joshua, waiting patiently in the wings all those years. You think of Christ himself. He didn't launch out into his ministry at the age of 18. No, he had to wait till the right time came. All the great men of God, God spends time preparing them. And you see, the better they are prepared, the greater works they can do. As it was for them, it's also for us, you see. Now, as people, what do we want to do? We want to rush out there and do it. We want to have success, and we want to be seen to be having success immediately. And very often, people rush out and do things, and the success seems to be there, but because the foundations haven't been properly laid, that success is fleeting. We see that in the body of Christ on a regular basis. God wants to do a great work in all of our lives, and he wants to take us to great places. There's no limit, really, with God. It doesn't matter where we come from, what we've done, what experience we have, etc. God can build that all into us. But what God is interested in is you and I working with him, allowing him to do his work in us. And can I say that sometimes that work that he has to do is quite challenging. Life happens, as we all so very well know. And when you and I are facing difficulty, when challenges come our way in one form or another, The fact that we are challenged is not the issue. The issue is how we respond. The issue is, what attitude do we have? What approach do we take? And if we understand that God has got us in the palm of his hands, that's what that scripture means. He's got us in the palm of his hands. He knows exactly what we are faced with. If we realize that, we can make this decision. I'm going to allow this situation to change me, to prepare me, if necessary, for God wants to do with me. And then, you see, if we understand it correctly, the greater the challenge, we can understand that the greater the calling that is on our life, the more God wants to do with us, the more he trusts us to come through. Now, it's one thing understanding that, but we have to realize something else. We can be deluded into thinking, oh, well, this is coming my way. God is at work. And then we quote that scripture, all things work together for good. But you see, we stop right there. All things work together for good. In a sense, we have a passive approach and say, oh, well, lay it on me, God. Give me the sickness. Give me this disease. Give me this misfortune. Give me this. Give me that. You are working your work in me. No. That's not what we're saying here. God doesn't bring those things on you and I. They come from the enemy. If you and I want to grow, we need to understand that. If we don't understand that, our experience won't teach us anything. Experience, people say, is a great teacher. But it's not experience alone, as important as experience is. I know multitudes, countless people, who have been broken by the experience. They've never recovered. They live broken lives. And that's not God's plan. The challenge comes our way. We have to recognize clearly that this is not God's plan to push us down. However, we can realize this is an opportunity to grow. How do we go about it? This is very, very important. Let me explain it this way. When challenges come our way, the best thing we can do is start asking ourselves questions. We need to ask why. God's not shy of you and I asking him why. And when we ask why, please know, the answer is to be found in his word. So many people, faced with challenges, expect there to be a very simple answer. They want somebody to give them a very simple answer. And many people are ready to give a simple answer, a stock answer. Something like, oh, you never know what God's going to do. Basically, grin and bear it. Well, you see, the truth is that nobody will understand exactly what you and I are going through. We have to live with that. The plan for our lives is unique. We're not just one of a whole series of the same thing. However, the answer is in God's word. And the approach to have is, if we try to live his way and it doesn't seem to be working, the problem does not lie with his word or with God. The problem lies in the fact that we do not necessarily understand enough of his word. This is so important. This is the right approach to take. If you and I run around asking somebody else to give us the answers, and that's not a bad thing if we're really new in this, it's good to get advice from experienced people. However, the big issues of life, you and I have to negotiate them on our own. And what it boils down to is this. When you and I are encountering difficulties, that's the time to dig deep. That's the time to dig deep. That's the time to go into the Word like never before. By and large, I've made that a habit of my life. And I can say very honestly that because I've had that attitude, God's been able to teach me a lot of things in his word, many of which I don't really think I've heard anybody else teach. The point is that God's got the answer for your and my problem, but it's in his word. We often quote that scripture where it states in Proverbs that it's God's glory to conceal a matter. The glory of kings is to search it out. Proverbs 25 verse 2. You and I are charged with searching things out. Don't expect there to be stock answers. That's the biggest danger of all. We're in trouble and we go to somebody and we say, what's the problem? And they give you a stock answer. I remember a good friend of mine, mightily used in the ministry at the moment, but he was involved romantically with this young lady, you see. And things didn't go well, and she got involved with a pizza delivery man, you see. And he made the big mistake of asking me what I thought about the situation. We were quite close friends at the time. And guess what I did? Did I go and pray? Did I ask God? No, I didn't. I gave him a stock answer. There's a stock answer out there for problems like this. It goes something along these lines. Let it go. If it really belongs to you, it'll come back to you, or something ridiculous like that. Stock answer. That was the worst advice he could have taken. Fortunately, he didn't take that advice. And what he did do was go and fight. And he got her back, happily married to this day with a beautiful family. But you see, we've got to be so cautious of stock answers. You and I, challenged with something, need to look God in the face and grip hold of him and say, Father God, show me from your word what I have got to do. Let me tell you, if you and I have that attitude and we push through in prayer, maybe fasting even, we push through till we get the answer. The next step God wants us to do in our situation, we learn the principles from the Bible. The answers are there. We have to uncover them. We learn that answer for ourselves. It becomes our own precious truth. Please realize something. In that situation, what God is actually doing is building a foundation. He's building a solid foundation. It's like Job. His whole world was rocked, as we know. And he went through terrible suffering, etc. The turning point came the end of Job, when he discovered God for himself. That's what this is all about. Discovering that answer for you and myself. There were some precious truths of God that we grew up with in the various churches that we belonged to. And on one occasion, we found ourselves in a church where they didn't believe the same things. They didn't. And we just blindly carried on saying what we always used to say and doing what we always used to do. And we got confronted. They got quite angry with us, actually. Now, let me just explain. Those truths that we had held dearly weren't deeply entrenched in our lives. That's what we discovered in that situation. Being confronted like that, having to give an account, so to speak, forced me to go back to the word and to find out exactly what I believed. And a whole lot of things happened in the process. But children of God, you and I are floating merrily along, believing that God does this, God does that, God protects us, God does this. And suddenly, the wheels are taken out from under us. What's the big question? Do we really believe? Is our foundation secure, or is it just a wishy-washy assumed foundation? The worst thing we can do, and especially people who've grown up in the kingdom of heaven, in church, just take for granted the lessons we've learned. God is the architect. He's building us. When we come across challenges, it's time to rejoice. Now, it sounds very easy, but there are a lot of things that can stop us. I just need to mention one of them. Please understand that you and I, as we've said so often, have got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't expect other people to fully understand what it is that you and I are challenged with. Very often when I come across people that have the misfortune of being maybe paraplegic, sitting in a wheelchair, I'm so conscious of the fact that I don't have a clue what it's like. I can't understand. I can encourage as best I can. But I realize something. That person in that position or any other similar position has got to grip God for themselves. And you see, you and I, when we start to grip God for ourselves, believing that He is the architect, that He has our best interests at heart, that there is a way through. Please, this is so important. The worst thing we can do is give up and say, oh, well, this is my lot in life. Then we're stuck there and there's nothing God can do. I love the example of blind Bartimaeus. You might recall this man, blind from birth, he knew nothing about sight. Condemned to be a beggar his whole life, trusting the good-hearted nature of people to feed him. Then he hears about the Lord, the healer, coming to town, Jericho. And he catches up with him as the man's leaving. And he starts to shout, Son of David. We know the story. What's quite interesting about this whole story, please note something. I would have thought that the people around him would have been so thrilled to think that maybe blind Bartimaeus could be blind no longer. That would seem natural, wouldn't it? They wouldn't have to fork out for him every day. He could look after himself. But here's the strange thing, and something that we can take a lesson from. In Mark 10, verse 48, 46 to 52 speaks about this story. But in verse 48, it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Think of that. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Why would they do that? Human nature wants to keep people in a box. We understand somebody to be something. We want them to stay that way. That's how we get a handle on them. Oh, Bartimaeus, yes, the blind man. We all know him. One mother said to her son, oh, you're only good to push a wheelbarrow. Another mother I knew said to her son, oh, you're only good enough to work in the post office. Not that that's a bad thing, although we don't have a post office anymore, but if the person's in that little box, we can keep a hold on them. If you might be in a difficult situation with some threatening disease, oh, it's that person with the cancer or this problem with their leg or whatever. Or maybe we struggle with poverty. Oh, you'll always be poor. Your family's always been poor. The people around us, as much as they might even love us, won't understand. It takes great courage to be that blind Bartimaeus and have the guts to grip onto God and say, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm not accepting this. And we can only be like that if we realize God is the architect of my life. God had a blueprint up there in heaven for Bartimaeus. And that blueprint didn't say Bartimaeus will be blind for the rest of his life. No. That blueprint said Bartimaeus can have his sight, he can function perfectly well, and he can be an asset to society, and he will one day be able to help other people that are blind. That's probably the blueprint God had up in heaven. What had to happen? Bartimaeus had to grip hold of that, ignore everybody else, and fight through. Brothers and sisters, if you are facing challenges, it can be a lonely walk. But let this be an encouragement to us. God is the architect, and He only builds wonderful things. You and my job is to grip hold of Him. Take hold of that plan of His, and dig deep into His word, and have the courage to push through until that great plan that He has for us happens. Here in this life, God is the architect. We are His workmanship. Every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. We have been designed and created to walk on this earth, bringing glory to His name. And I trust that these words might help every one of us to do exactly that. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
your strength.